I want you to imagine that God is asking you to do something you haven't done before. And that would be to leave your home. Leave all that you have, what you've built up, what your experience is, to go with him and just trust him. And then while you're doing that, one day you find him telling you, now I want you, that you have given up everything you built up, given up your home, given up your place in society. Now I want you to go from here and preach the gospel of the kingdom in towns, but don't take any money and don't take any food and don't take any self-protection like a staff and don't take any extra clothing to keep warm. Oh, by the way, just trust that you will be housed and fed by somebody, somewhere, wherever you go. And if you find that, stay there and let your peace be on that home. Not doing that. That's okay. Now you're meddling. That's too much to ask. And yet, that actually did happen and actually was done. And what's interesting about it is after it was over, sometime later, Jesus Christ asked those people, hey, when you did that, when you went out into the public and had nothing to sustain you, did you want for anything? Because there was a point to him doing it that way. And they said, well, Master, no, we didn't want for a thing. So if God is asking you and I, me, to do that, to give up what we are for humanity, to deny ourselves, to take up our sacrificing attitude for all like he did, and follow him. He's told us to do that now. And we're doing that. We're pretty well done. You know, we could pretty well just pack it in today and we'll come up in the first resurrection, because we've got it all settled. Really? Please turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. We in the church know better. We know we're not done. If we were, we wouldn't be here. Right? And not only are we not done, not only do we not know everything we needed to know, not only have we not experienced, not only have we been tried in every possible way that God will know we're ready for him, and we'll know too we are. Like Paul said, I have run my race, and a crown of righteousness is laid up for me. He knew it. So no matter how much we've sacrificed, no matter how much we've done, no matter how much we've followed God, a long time after they had done all that traveling and preaching and trusting God to support them, and they wanted for nothing, this happened. It's a sentence that seems to melt into the ones around it, but this is important. Luke 24, verse 45. Luke 24, verse 45. After all their sacrificing, he said to them in Luke 24, 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. They had preached the gospel of the kingdom. They had trusted God. They had proved God backed them up. They had given everything of their lives up. And then he opened their understanding. Here's the point. We're not done. And God is opening our understanding on an ongoing basis the rest of our physical human existence. And there's something about that in relationship to us that he says. He says, God cannot deny himself. What? Well, that's obvious. Yes, but that relates to him and you. With God's perfect creation design, which is why we are, this design is perfect, and it's why we are. It's how we're designed. So we could argue with his design, but it's how we're built. We're supposed to be this way. His revealing to his people of their part, their position, their place in eternity. He does reveal what our job is, what our position is, what our place is. And in doing that, he says, God cannot deny himself. And that's in relationship to us. And we'll see that. We're not going to look there yet because we need to understand the context of why he said it. And it's going to take a little bit to do that. But he does expect us to follow up because of his commitment to himself. What is this about? Okay, it's about spiritual senses, seeing and hearing spiritually. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at revelation of how God cannot deny himself. This is something humanity can't know, can't understand, doesn't know, and doesn't even know they don't know. There are spiritual senses God provides so that we can know God cannot deny himself. This is pretty big because it changes our perspective in relationship to not only what he's doing, who he is, why he's doing it, and what we are. And, you know, it's very easy for us to say, I could explain all this. I could explain it. When we go through this, that phrase, God cannot deny himself, means a great deal more than to say it and not understand it now. Hopefully, when we're done, we will have been changed by what he said about himself and us. So our first thought today is our given future isn't now. The kingdom, the family, the eternal life with God, that's not now. He gives spiritual senses to know his eternal design. He gives us, without us earning them, spiritual senses to know his eternal design. I made that up. No, I didn't. Romans 8. Let's actually consider that God tells us all this, and pretty clearly too. Romans 8. Now, this is Paul, obviously dealing with the church at Rome, explaining and encouraging and uplifting and explaining about what he's gone through and how much he's had to put up with and how he is a prisoner of Christ. He's a bondservant, and he is doing it for God and them. Romans 8, in verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18. And he's talking about the way we see life. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This language is important. It's not our glory. It's glory revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, the whole, yes, all of it, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility or waste or uselessness, not willingly, because the creation doesn't want to be wasted, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. There is a prison of not doing it God's way, of humanity deciding, we know how to do it, we're fine. That's corruption. It's destructive. Life ends doing it this way. Delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We know something isn't right. eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, as if it hasn't happened yet, because it hasn't. For we were saved in this hope, in the process of God giving us spiritual eyes and ears, hope began. Hope of what we're for, why we are. That is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? Okay, so what has happened here is that life is a prelude to eternity, and we now understand that. And we see this hope. What we just went through right now, humanity doesn't get it. We see the hope of the corrupted world not seeing it, and we see what God's doing with spiritual senses. Okay, not a big review here, but God created life for humanity to be very good. We don't have to go and look at it, just explain that God says it was very good when he finished making human beings in Genesis 1:31. So he said, this is very good, Genesis 1:31. Don't have to go and look there. But we can turn over to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Human beings were made to be very good. He said they were. He said they were. He finished that and said they were very good. And then something happened. Human beings, humankind, chose to not dwell with God. Chose it. He designed them. This is important. He's given them a life process, a way to be. You say, well, if I were eternal and I don't have all the encumbrances of being physical anymore, why would I obey God? A couple of answers on that one, but the short one is our design for what we are is to do this with God. Do what? We'll cover that. But it's a design the way we are, and that's where happiness and fulfillment and giving comes from, is being like God, not being like us. So, 1 John 5, verse 19, human beings decided, nope, don't need you, God. 1 John 5, 19, we know that we are of God. We know it. And the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We know that too. The spiritual sense that shows us that. Now, that means there are actual living, chosen ones alive now, who God reveals his design to. But the world resists that. It just hates that. As a matter of fact, it hated Christ. He said, because they hated me, they'll hate you. And don't be surprised at it. You can find that in John 15. Don't need to turn there. But let's go back to Mark 12, because there's something in Mark 12 we may need to be able to move forward with this discussion. Mark 12 shows us something unlike what the world and religion says. And by the way, it's said multiple times, I mean, through the Old and New Testament, this thing that you're about to see. Not only does the world resist the reality of God and what he's doing, but we see his design. So now we have to cover, because it's important to just put the brakes on and stop here for a second and realize more is needed to spiritually sense what God's design is. More is needed. Where would that come from? Us. Well, okay, so now I am part of salvation. In a very real way, yes, and still it's to the glory of God. We'll see why that is. Okay? Mark 12, and then go to verse 29. Mark 12, verse 29. Don't forget, he was asked multiple times, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, we're gonna take this answer apart. Mark 12, verse 29. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. This, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So as you look at that, you go, well, this is a requirement of God. This is what God wants. And I fail at this all the time. Well, there's more to this little thing we read here, because it's a reference to something said in the Old Testament multiple times and in the New as well. As a matter of fact, the Father told the apostles the same thing. How is that in here? Read it again. Verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, stop. That word, hear, is Shema, or Shema, or Shema, depending on how it's pronounced and who's pronouncing it. That reference is, by the way, Deuteronomy 6:4. It is an absolute command to hear attentively and intelligently and, are you ready? Push away everything else. No matter how bad life is, no matter how awful we feel, no matter how sick we are, no matter how many problems there are, no matter how many distractions, hear. Shema. It's a primitive root, and it means to hear intelligently, to listen intently, to do nothing else but listen to what's being said. Now, when you know that is preceding what he says about the first and second great commandment, suddenly it dawns on us, oh, the reason we can fail at these great commandments is we didn't hear him. It's a spiritual sense. What do you mean, didn't hear? Well, if we're failing at these commandments, we didn't hear him. Now we're going to start to look at spiritual sense and why God says he can't deny himself. So, what would happen if somebody whom God is opening his truth to actually asked to hear it? What would happen? Not just, I want to follow you, help me follow you, guide us. I want to hear you. I want everything pushed away. I want to concentrate only on what you tell me now. What would happen? Well, there's a place where it shows it. Psalm 66. Let's go back to Psalms, to Psalm 66. A man after God's own heart, David. And he's describing this interaction of hearing God by God's gift of hearing. Not by him crinkling up his brow and clenching his fist and saying, I need to hear you. But by God's spirit, a spiritual sense of being able to perceive and hear what humans can't. Have to ask for that. Psalm 66 in verse 16. Psalm 66 in verse 16. Come and Shema, or the Shema. God is one, right? That one. Come and hear. Listen intentively, intelligently, concentratedly. All you who have an awesome respect, fear God. All those of you. And I will declare what he has done for my life. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. So I actually, he said, explained out loud to God his position in the universe. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So if we're failing to follow, if failing to hear, it's because there is a distraction, an iniquity we're drawn off to. If I regard iniquity inside me, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. So apparently he was able to break through himself, deny himself, and follow God. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. It is possible, but it takes complete concentration, and everything else has to be pushed away. Hear, O Israel. Hear him to be established and enabled to join with him in his design. His chosen ones are being told to actively respond. How serious is this? Now, we're still in the first point. Remember, the first point was our given future isn't yet. God gives us spiritual senses to know his eternal design. To be able to look forward to see where we're going, we need spiritual senses to do it. Go back, please, to Mark 9 with me. Mark 9. How serious, how big a deal is this? This isn't some study in language. This isn't a concordance sermonette or a sermonette. This isn't about some sound made in a language. This is about our spiritual relationship to him, our spiritual actions. This is about not giving in to the world from which we come. Mark 9, they're on the mountain. Jesus Christ is talking to Elijah, Abraham, and the apostles are seeing this, or Moses, excuse me, and Moses. Mark 9, verse 7, and Mark 9, verse 7, and the cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear him. Give attentive, intelligent audience. If we did this, there would be no crime, corruption, death. Hear him." That's how big a deal this is. It is all important. It is an eternal importance. So, our first thought simply was our chosen future isn't now, it isn't yet, but God gives us a spiritual sense, if we'll go after it, to know what's coming. Now, our second thought is this. How are God's people to respond to this gift of spiritual senses? How do we react to it? Well, obviously, to learn God's will for us, we have to live a specific way. How are God's people to respond to his gift of spiritual sense? Well, live a specific way. He instructs us in how to do it. Our whole life in the church is based on learning this way, which is our design. Let's see here. Why don't we take a round peg and a square hole and keep hammering it until it fits? That would be really dumb. And that's what we're doing when we're not following God's design. There's a design for us to move forward, and it's so easy. You know, when you read scriptures like, make his ways straight, that's what it's talking about. Make them so obvious and easy that, bring all the high places low that we can follow him. It's not hard to follow him, just hear him. So let's go over to the responsibility section. There's a little chunk of your Bible that's about the responsibility section. But in the process of looking at this in Romans 11, when we go to look at this, there's something we must understand first. Must first understand in hearing him. first God in our minds, and sometimes God has to actually break us, as he did with Job, to get this settled. You're the one who knows whether you need this settled in your life, or you will. First, God must be acknowledged as sovereign. Yes, but my opinion, stop. Yes, but I did the research, stop. I know and all others aren't right, stop. God is sovereign. I have to say, I'm not all that too worried about whether or not, if Donald Trump runs for president, we'll have a civil war, which, by the way, was the declaration this morning from Princeton, an expert in civil war. I'm not too worried about whether or not there's a volcano off of Tonga and the West Coast may slide into the ocean. I'm not too worried about the fact that the United States may cease to exist because of our immorality, because those are distractions. Hear him, not that, him. Romans 11, 33. Why would I have to hear him though? I have it all figured out. You know, Romans 11 and verse 33, and this is Paul who had it figured out. No, he didn't. Romans 11, 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, past finding out. You mean to tell me there are things God knows I don't know? Now, that's unfair. Because I pretty much know what there is. He can't possibly know more than me. One man walked into Mr. Armstrong's office, pounding on his desk, saying, have you heard of all of the problems there are in the ministry in Australia? Mr. Armstrong said, well, maybe we ought to tell God about it. The depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments. He knows more than we do. And when he tells us to accept and love our enemies and those who disagree with us, he's not kidding. That's what he does. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore. What happens when you see the word therefore? Look at what you just saw. How unsearchable are his ways. I beseech you, because his ways are unsearchable, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And by the way, when he says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't be confused by the world and drawn away because of choosing to live as God by sacrificing yourself, your life, and your will. You will learn God's way of life. But we can't do that unless God is sovereign. When we go to him to hear him, we have to extol him, hear him, not the voice in our head that says we're right. That's why we learn a new method of thinking. Be transformed in your mind, it says. Let's go back to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, please. God's children, the ones who are his offspring, as Acts 17 puts it. There are humans who are offspring of God. Well, in two senses, all of them are. All humans are offspring of God. He calls them that in Acts 17. But in addition, his children in the church, in the body, members individually one of another, are actually his children. Well, spiritually, yes, spiritually, which is more than physically. They are actually his children. And they can ask him to learn this new way of design of life, which is, by the way life and creation was built from the beginning. We've been lied to. We've been played. We believe it works another way. I need my authority. I need my value. I need to be in charge. I need to be accepted. What you need for what? What does society do for you lately, other than ask for things from you? What does God do? He's unpresumptuous. He's bonding, and he's carrying you while you're sinning, loving you, giving you life and me while we reject him, even sometimes unknowingly, but he still keeps going. He who began a good work in you will finish it. Matthew 7, there's something to do here. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. What's he talking about? Spiritual senses. Opening up what humans can't see. Hearing him. That's what we need to go to him for, to be able to hear. And oh, by the way, let's go back to Romans 12 again, where we were, because you see it does continue on with a thought. We are not to continue alone. Romans 12, go back to Romans 12, please. We are not to continue on alone, or maybe that's the wrong way to put it. We can't continue on alone. For if we don't know that we have been alone when we weren't connected to God and his, what belongs to him, if we didn't know we were alone before, there's something wrong with our senses. We have to have the rest of his connected to us and us to them. Now, why would that be? We're going to do it a very long time, for eternity. And it starts now. Sharing our life for others. Now it starts. Hear him. Romans 12, verse 4. Romans 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we're individuals that way. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Well, I'm a member of the church. You're members of one another. You and I are members of the body, of each one another. We're individuals with parts of the body. You know, the analogy of the eye, the ear, the hand. See, it's part of the body, but they can't live on their own. And when one is hurt, the whole body hurts. When one is joyful, the whole body is joyful. If the eye doesn't like the little finger, something's wrong with the body now. Yeah, but that little finger doesn't know as much as I do. Oh, hear him. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. He gave himself to sinners, for sinners. Let's go over to John 17 and look at what John 17 records that Christ prayed on the night he was to be killed, or beginning his crucifixion. John 17. This, of course, we go through this when we have time on Passover. Human sins. These are new sins, things that are happening again or new after conversion. Or let's put it this way, during conversion. Those human sins are not separating God's people from Him. God loves what He is. We're extensions of Him. We're His offspring, we're His children. He loves that. We're sharing His oneness. We're sharing His oneness. What He's doing is supporting everything. Everything. Everyone. Everything is interdependent. You can see it in nature. I actually saw a documentary where they explained that some of the big cats decided to change their camouflage based on the animals they were hunting. And science has figured out that deer can't see the stripes on a tiger. It's a good thing tigers knew that so they could change their stripes to be what the deer can't see. You have to listen to the nonsense that human beings come up with to get rid of God and realize, boy, I was really into this in college. Evolution is a faith. It has no proof. It's nonsense. When I talk about it, I'll be happy to tell you. God is the maker and the upholder of everything, and in the process of doing it, we come. We come from Him. He loves so much. He gives so much of Himself. Here you are. John 17, verse 8. John 17, verse 8. Here you are. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they've heard them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Does this sound like somebody in charge over you? Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Look at this. Keep through your name, which is holy, sanctified, honored, I am, your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. God does not want us any other way than we were designed in the first place. This is spiritual sense here. Either you disagree with that, or you agree with it, or you could come to agree with it. And we have a future realization because of our spiritual sense that God gives to us. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, I know what's in there. Okay, well, 1 Corinthians 15, because there's a phrase in there, now has come to mean everything to me. I hope it comes to mean everything to you. Oh, well, it's about the resurrection and, you know, we'll be in the clouds. Okay. Nope. Let's go to look at what is our future in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. And let the world compete with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, whatever that means, other than no one will die anymore. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him, Christ, is accepted, meaning the Father isn't under Christ. Let's keep going. Now, when all things are made subject to him, the Son himself, Jesus Christ, the Creator, Savior, Master, Messiah, will also be subject to him who put all things under him. And here's the phrase, that God may be all in all. That's where he's going. There will be the day when there will be no one alive who does not see God as all important. Hear him. Hear him. But I stubbed my toe. But I'm out of gas. But I don't have a money. I'm worried. Somebody doesn't like me on Twitter. Okay. Hear him. He is all. Why? We come from him. He upholds us. And in eternity, we'll share life making and sharing with him. Think about it. How many times have you seen this phrase? We saw it today, Mr. Kansas Sermonette. Go forth and multiply. Why did he say that to Noah? Why did he say that to Adam and Eve? The idea is life begets what? Life. Spiritual life makes more. Spiritual life. Sharing life creates life. God giving life to make more life. But Master, I knew you were an austere man who gains from what you didn't plant. Right. You bear fruit. Christ told us to do it too, but it's always by God guiding us. How responsible are we supposed to be? All responsible. All in all. That's why this phrase is the most important piece of information to know. It's God who's going to be all important in all beings. Well, that's hard to understand, hard to believe. Because of this that we're in now, that's why. Push it away and hear him. Shema. Now, how do we do that? Well, we trust God, actually know he's going to perform what he said. There ought to be a word for that, knowing what God's going to do what he said. Let's go over to Romans 10, this knowing what God told us he's going to do these things, but I can't see him, and I don't know that. The guy told me the car was going to last 20 years, too, and it broke down, so I don't know how to trust anybody. There ought to be a word for trusting. Inviolable. What would the word be? What? Romans 10, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, the good news. They haven't obeyed it. They haven't joined with it. They haven't cooperated with the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing. So it doesn't just happen. It comes by hearing. Where does hearing come from? From the Word of God. It's a living book on your lap there. The words are alive, Christ said. My words are life and spirit. In addition to all that, God's a nice person. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 30 and see how nice a person he is. Well, Deuteronomy, yeah, let's go back there. Deuteronomy 30. Tell you why, it's easy to say he's a nice person. He's made everything and it's beautiful and it's perfect. And he's giving without asking in return for anything other than to share it all with him, which is what he said to Adam and Eve. He said, no, we want to do it our way. And he said, well, then we're not going to share. You're going to have to do this yourself. But he didn't take the earth away and he didn't kill him. He just said, okay, let's see you do it. You ever see a little toddler go, I do it. And you go, okay, go ahead. And everything falls apart. Yeah, right. I do it. Doesn't work. So God, in his wisdom, chooses when and where and if he will show a person or a nation his design for them. He doesn't just do it all the time. You were picked, and there was a moment where he told you what he's doing. Nice person. Personal. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Maybe you haven't thought of this verse as being a nice person. It's really nice. He didn't have to do this at all. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today. Today, not tomorrow, not a year ago, today, against you. These are witnesses. The creation you can look at, heaven and earth, are witnesses of everything there is that I made, and they are witnesses against you that I have set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So he told us in a specific time, in a specific place, choose life. Life or death. Life is realizing your design, being associated with him, living like he is, which, by the way, interestingly enough, Satan has set the world to be exactly the opposite thereof. So if you want to know how to live like God, look at the exact opposite of the world. Total commitment to him, first. Second, to your neighbor, second. That's not the world, not even close. And that means the next thing, Matthew 16. By the way, this is said three times. Matthew 16 is enough. You don't need to see all three of them. I don't need to see all three of them. This is enough. Matthew 16. I'm in 6. I want to go to 16. Matthew 16. This is the next step after he has set before you life and death. Now what? Well, actually, that's a good question, because some of the folks around Christ said, now what? Here's what. Matthew 16, verse 24. Don't forget, these people were, quote, religious, right? Descendants of Abraham. You know, David was out there going to be their king, and the Messiah was coming, and he's going to release them from oppression from Rome. Okay, now we're rolling. So, how do I attain eternal life? Well, here's the answer. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, I don't like this, deny himself. That would mean you'd consider God sovereign. That's a pretty big deal. Considering the fact that he is, it's not a big deal. But when we're self-important, it is. And take up his cross, meaning the attitude of giving yourself a living sacrifice for everyone, your enemies included. And follow me. Hear him. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well. So he puts life before us, deny ourself, be sacrificing of that self as a reasonable service, and follow him. Will you want for anything? I don't know. While we're busy asking him for things, how about what we give him? So our second approach then was, how are God's people to respond to his gift of spiritual sense? Give up. Hear him and give up. And our last thought is that God is reproducing and extending himself in his children. That's what it seems to be. He says so. You are my children, we are to be one, Christ said. He's extending himself. More life is making more life. God made and makes all things, and that includes you. So know this first. What is reproducing God? God is reproducing and extending himself. So know this first as we look at this. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews 1, right away, beginning of Hebrews. There's a lot of places where this is discussed. Genesis, John. But this is a condensed version of it. Know this first. God is reproducing and extending himself in his children. Hebrews 1, 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. He told them what's going on. And it was written down. Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Oh, little extra thing there. Not only is he heir of all things, he made everything. Oh, he's sovereign. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, meaning of the Father, and what? Upholding all things by the word of his power. So nothing is going on that isn't being upheld by Christ, including all the bad people, so they can learn it doesn't work this way. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of his majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels as he was and has been by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, which we will join. Humanity doesn't actually know any of this reality. They have no idea what's going on. As a matter of fact, when you tell them, that's considered heresy and one of the major reasons Christ was crucified. We're saying what we just read. God's chosen children right now are empowered with gifts we didn't earn, empowered with them to enable them to practice this given design, this hearing and seeing of what God's doing spiritually and functioning because of it. James 1. James 1. You find it. Used to be here. God's chosen children now, right now, and have been those who preceded us, were given power, were given mind, were given hearing, were given seeing. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Let him who has eyes to see, see. It's because that's a declaration of making it available. Hear him. James 1, verse 17. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In other words, everything that's good, everything that's right, everything that's perfect, everything that's acceptable doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from Microsoft. It comes down from the Father of lights. Or his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Reality is what he's talking about, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God's brought forth certain chosen ones out of this world. You are of them. They have chosen to ask for, to seek out, to knock on God's door, to have reality open to them, and keep it up until it opens. There's a family of God's extensions being formed. members individually one of another. And that family will encompass all who will be chosen to be parts of God's giving body of living lives, giving lives, sharing lives forever. So how does this all fit with God telling us that he cannot deny himself? Maybe you figured it out already. That's 2 Timothy 2. If you haven't, let's look. 2 Timothy 2. God cannot deny himself. You're an extension of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy 2, 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, meaning our old life is gone now, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In other words, we can just say we don't want anything to do with him. If we are faithless, that happens. He remains faithful because he started a good work in us. He cannot deny himself. He can't deny his character in us. It's him in us. He can't deny that. Why would he? And as we become more and more like Christ, who is the one with the Father and declares us to be one with them, we become more and more God's offspring. God cannot deny his life in us, and that is remarkable. And as you spiritually sense this and understand this reality, that is a sense of God's spirit, God's being. You have a spiritual sense to be able to accept what we just said. If you can't accept it or don't understand it, God will open your mind if you go to him for it. So we've covered three things. Our given future isn't now. God gives spiritual senses to know his eternal design and what's coming. Second, we are God's people, and we're supposed to respond to his spiritual senses that he gives us. And how do we do it? And then lastly, God is reproducing and extending himself in his children. What's your family name? Are you part of your family by birth? Are you your family, or are you part of your family? Are you part of the name? Are you of your father and mother? Ephesians 3, let's end here. Ephesians 3. The reason it is so profoundly cruel and evil to do what the legislation is being proposed to do, to allow people to just say they identify as a buffalo and we have to allow them to do it, is this. It's profoundly evil, and it will be stopped because God is extending a family of which you are individually members one of another. Ephesians 3, verse 14, and he cannot deny himself. Ephesians 3, 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. We need that. We're not done. We have to go to him and hear him. And Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that he will give you, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So he's all in all to you. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Now, God's truth separates his family members from, you know, his spiritual offspring from the world. Come out of her, my children. May our Father in Jesus Christ give us the spiritual senses to not let this world overcome us, but overcome evil with good. And this will be done as God grants human beings the spiritual senses to know God cannot deny himself.